Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archive. Well, today I'm interviewing actor Ted Trent from the movie Hidden Hills and also Belleville, and I think I have him on the line. Okay, Ted, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great.
I'm here.
Wonderful. Well, we were supposed to have the director, Dan Stedman, join us, but unfortunately he had to do something else today and was unable to join us, but I'm glad you're here so we can talk a little bit about this fun movie. He got the flu. That's right. He got the flu, so he couldn't be here.
We were filming Belleville, and we all kind of got sick at the last week, so I think it's his turn to get the flu.
Okay, well, before we get into Belleville, I want to talk about Hidden Hills. So tell us about the plot of Hidden Hills.
Well, and thanks, Rachel, by the way, for talking about Hidden Hills. I think it's an important film, especially with all that's going in our with all that is going on in our country right now regarding gay marriage. I think it's a profound film that can really make people think about a lot of different issues. But Hidden Hills basically was an idea of my life partner and I, Drew Panico. We perform stand-up comedy. I actually responded to a Groupon several years ago about taking a comedy class. And when I first met my life partner, one of the things I loved about him is that he could make me laugh, and I always told him I thought he should do stand-up comedy. So I thought one of the ways to get him into stand-up comedy was for me to get involved in stand-up comedy and kind of drag him along. So my plan worked, and I eventually got him to go to the same comedy class I was going to, and we started performing stand-up comedy together as a duo. So we go by the Gay Comedy Duo, and we've been performing probably once a month at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. And we've been inviting our friends to come and stuff like that. So then I met Dan. I was actually auditioning for Dan for another film that he did called Red Lodge. So what I love about Dan Stedman is that when I met him, I was an actor. I wasn't his real estate agent. I wasn't another crew person on a set. I was actually auditioning for a movie he was doing called Red Lodge as a lead in that film. He found me on Actors Access. So I didn't end up getting that film because he had already cast the lead. That lead was backing out of the film because he was cast on a TV show, and he called me in a pinch and said, can you fly to another state and be a lead in a film? And I'm like, yes. He goes, it's contingent, however, upon the lead that I cast in the film figuring out his schedule. And if he can't figure out the schedule, then you're our star. I'm like, oh, well, that's great. When will we know? He's like, in about 12 hours. But that didn't work out. Long story short, I told him, I said, send me the DVD when you have the film done. I'd love to see it. So he did, and I loved the film, and I could definitely see that I would have been perfect for the part that he was casting. And I said, you know, if we ever have a chance to make a movie, I'd love to do that. And since he had written Red Lodge, I said, maybe you can write a film for me one day. Long story short, a year passes, and I asked him, I said, hey, why don't – he wanted to write a movie set back in the 1960s, kind of like a Doris Day Rock Hudson-style film. And I was starting to learn that stand-up comedy was really popular back in the 50s and 60s, and even before that, the whole vaudeville era had, you know, comedy duos performing, and I think America, for the most part, has lost the comedy duo, even though it's really popular in other countries. So I said, well, why don't you write a story, your Rock Hudson Doris Day, but it be a gay comedy duo? And he loved the idea. So that's kind of where Hidden Hills came from, a Groupon. It all started with a Groupon, yeah.
But the premise is really interesting. In this world, being gay is not unusual. In fact, it's the norm. And not only that, but two Caucasians being together is terrible. But if you have mixed races, it's a good thing. And it really kind of puts the whole world upside down, and it really makes an interesting premise.
Well, that's all Dan. What Dan wanted to do in the idea of creating this Rock Hudson Doris Day film was to turn everything upside down, because those films, what everybody loves about Rock Hudson and Doris Day films was, one is the chemistry between the two of them, but everything was just, you know, in a way perfect in that genre of romance. And, you know, if you have two lead actors that are male in love in that style of film, which, you know, Dan loves those style of films, and he said, you know, I don't have a Rock Hudson Doris Day style film that tells my story, which is being gay. And he goes, when I get old, I want to throw in one of those old films and see my story. And I said, you know, Dan, I don't either. I said, I don't really, when I first met Dan, I never really watched old romantic films, because I didn't see my story in those films either. So so that's kind of where it got started is, you know, if we were going to make a romantic comedy about old-time films, which gays were usually marginalized in them, they were usually, you know, the flamboyant character, or the, Dan says in one of his favorite films, they were talking about, they were talking about a gay character by saying that he liked purple or lavender wallpaper. You know, they didn't come out and say, well, he was gay, but they always insinuated that there was something odd because there was a character that may liked colorful things, or, you know, so that's one of the things we did in Hidden Hills, which is, by the way, available online until January 1st, 2014 for free. You can watch the entire full-length 72-minute romantic comedy for free until then.
What's the website?
Yeah, hiddenhillsthemovie.com. We're kind of doing something a little bit, I forgot what I was talking about, but we're kind of doing something a little bit differently. We want people to start talking about the film. We're going to be going, hopefully, to film festivals in 2014, but we want to get some hype out there and want to get some feedback on what people think, because we think it's a really good movie. So we're letting people watch it online for free right now, and then we're going to remove it from the internet next year while we do the film festival circuit. So maybe that's a little bit different than norm, but we definitely feel that we have a hit on our hands.
It's a real fun film. It's kind of got that campy, it's almost more, I think of it as more 50s than 60s. It has that 50s vibe of like Leave It to Beaver, you know, everything's perfect like you talk about. And it's just over-the-top camp in a way. But I thought it was really fun. It must have been really fun to do the movie.
Yeah, it is. It probably is a little bit more 50s than 60s. It's a little bit of both, I think.
And I thought I saw
it's not
Cammy
like a hippie movie. It's not a hippie movie. What was that?
I thought I saw Drew do a cameo in there.
Yeah, what's fun is my life partner, at first we were going to have my life partner do the role of, because it is about the gay comedy duo, and the character in the film is named Drew. And excuse me, there's that flu hanging on, as is my life partner's name, Drew. At the last minute, he decided not to do the part because he doesn't feel he's an actor. He's more of a comedian. So we cast an actor in the part, which we're both thankful for, because it was a much larger commitment than we thought. He plays the wealthy Italian who I attempt to sell a loft to in the film. So, yeah, he
which
does play a cameo.
You also
what was
sell
that?
Loft. Put that on there.
Yeah.
You can tell us real quick about your loft.
We're kind of experimenting with an idea in this film, and the experiment is, you know, since independent film overall is changing, the way we financed the film was with this idea. Even if nobody purchased this, Hidden Hills to distribute, or if we never see it on TV, we feel that the internet is a great way to distribute content, not only in the United States, but all around the world. So what we did is a lot of people are buying real estate from all over the world in Los Angeles. So we wanted to create a film that we could use as a marketing tool, which I don't think you watch Hidden Hills and think, wow, that's a marketing tool. But
yeah.
But the fact is that it's a gay comedy duo, and what they do is perform comedy in the movie, and they also have a day job, which Dan kind of regrets doing in the end. He's like, you know, I don't think I really explained the fact that these guys do two things in the film and why they do two things. But, you know, if you live in Hollywood and you're trying to make it, a lot of people do two jobs or three jobs or four jobs.
Right.
So in our film, the gay comedy duo has the day job of selling real estate, which is in real life what we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we finance the film. So what our intention is if we don't find distribution, is to, in 2015, bring the film back online for free and just let people watch it. And one of the ways that we actually have created financing already for this film is that we share with our clients when we're selling real estate that we're making movies that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to love that. And in real estate, when you sell a house, your commission check could be anywhere from $5,000 to, you know, $40,000. So one of the things that we did with this particular project is make sure that it has a social agenda, not just an artsy kind of creative agenda, so that when we talked about it with our clients, we felt like they had an opportunity to choose us and make a difference in the film and entertainment industry in a very direct way, by choosing us as we fund films like this. And I can tell you what is really exciting is that I would say we've already traced three specific instances where people chose to do more business with us, which has resulted in about $20,000 worth of fundraising so far through our real estate business. So even if I never sell the movie for $10, we feel that so far, and we've only had a release date where we had the premiere in downtown LA on October 3rd, that the film has so far raised about $20,000 worth of not profit, we're still paying it off, but of income. So we're using the film as a calling card that we're real estate agents that are doing something else with our life that makes a difference. And we think it's working. And matter of fact, we think it's working so well, we started to do another. We're actually finished wrapping another film with the same type of intention.
Yeah, but before we get into Belleville, I want to talk a little bit more about Hidden Hills. Tell me about casting, because Jane from the Go-Go's, how did she get in there?
Well, that's a great segue, because Jane is my client in real estate. I've been working with her for about 5 years. She has a penthouse loft in downtown, and I've been renting it out for her because she now lives in San Francisco. And so I asked Jane if she wanted to get involved with the project, and she let us shoot half the film in her penthouse.
Okay.
So all those scenes in the loft are Jane Wheedland of the Go-Go's. That's her loft.
Oh, that's great.
And, and she sings a song in the movie, and she appears in the movie. So that's another way that this film has worked for us as realtors, is it's given our own clients an opportunity to be in a movie. And she was thrilled. She's thrilled to be a part of it. She loves the film.
Who did the other song, Does My Baby Love Me? That little downbeat, funny song.
That
was
Dan's idea to have a song like that. One of our producers, Cynthia Webster, actually did the recording of Tim singing that. And then later,
I thought it was him.
Yeah, Tim actually sang that.
Okay. It was so, you know, at first I'm like, what is this song? And then the more you hear it, the more you really like it. And now
it's haunting,
I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, everyone says that. It's very haunting. So, And then Jeffrey Birch. What I love about this film, too, is has an amazing soundtrack that you can listen to on our website, HiddenHillsTheMovie.com. And that is also going to be included on the DVD that we're pressing right now, the entire film's soundtrack.
That's great. So. The James
because
song,
movies
too,
like
when
that,
I first heard it. Sorry,
the old school movies, you know, they used to be scored. You know, they used to have original scores throughout the whole film, and you know, a lot of films nowadays have canned music that you buy, you know, from video tracks or backtracks and things like that. But the entire film has an original score, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the music really plays a role throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
Just like an old movie, you know, tells you what you're supposed to be thinking or feeling. It kind of does the same thing along the way, and it really adds a lot to it.
The neat thing about that is, you know, as an executive producer on the film and an actor, I've been in L.A. for 17 years, and I've been, you know, as an actor, always wanting to be the star of a film. And as a gay man, that just doesn't happen. And when I met Dan was telling me that his intention is to create films for all people that have gay and lesbian characters and lead characters in it. And I love that. And I said, you know, Dan, people don't do that. And one of the reasons is because gay and lesbian films don't make money in the box office. So I just really loved how inspirational Dan was as a writer-director. And he didn't know that I have some money to make films. And, you know, I just was so enamored by Dan, being that he wanted to make a difference in the world and make less money but tell great stories, that I'm really committed to him and his success, and he is to mine. And that's why I think this movie was made, is that he's just so excited about storytelling and telling stories about characters that you don't see on the big screen. And I think that's great. I think that's the perfect type of film that could be really successful online, because we're not going to see a lot of stories on TV like Hidden Hills, just because the audience isn't there. But I think that the audience is on the internet.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
But you know what? A lot of my straight friends love the film.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a fun film.
Yeah, because it's not really a gay film. It's a film that is probably more about racial relationships than it is gay. Mm-hmm. We only mention the word gay twice in the entire film in reference to the decorations that we're going to use for a party.
Mm-hmm.
So we never really bring up the fact that people are gay. We actually bring up the fact that people are straight in our film, and we feel that's odd. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
right.
So we wanted,
I've seen other films that are like that are similar, where they have it reversed versus gay versus straight. They have that dynamic to it, but I've never seen where, you know, the race part of it, I've never seen that in a film. So I thought that was really unique.
Yeah, and that's why when we first started talking about how are we going to market this film, I had mentioned, I said, I don't know if this is really a gay film. I said it really is more of a race relations type of thing, because we're not talking about being gay. We're not saying we're struggling with it or it's bad or it's good or, you know, we're not really, it's just a matter of fact. So
exactly,
I really don't know if it's a gay film. I know that sounds weird. I think it has more to do with prejudice and about racial relationships. Matter of fact, some of the people were more taken back by the racial humor and some of the jokes about race than anyone has said anything about gay, which is really shocking, but which I'm actually happy about.
Let's go ahead and talk about Belleville. Now, when you flew out, now, wasn't that your hometown, or didn't you live out there originally
after
in that area?
Filming Hidden Hills, I realized that things were way more expensive shooting in Hollywood than I And difficult, not just expensive, but difficult.
Yeah.
Like, shooting anything was a major chore, and we felt like, you know, the FBI was looking in on us, which was usually the landlord or the neighbors, and we felt like we were doing something wrong, which was odd for me because I felt like making a movie should be, like, a really exciting thing. So
mm-hmm.
I said, well, why don't we make a movie back in my hometown? I think people will be really excited about that. And that's exactly
mm-hmm.
what happened. I can't tell you, Rachel, the night and day difference
wow.
between going back to my hometown and shooting a movie and filming one where I've lived for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the name of our movie is Belleville. It's a story about a farmer who loses his wife in a thunderstorm. She gets struck by lightning, and he can't shake it. So for 10 years, he mopes around on his family farm and basically locks up the room that him and his wife slept in and hasn't gone in it for 10 years and is majorly depressed. Meanwhile, his wife is alive on another planet. She was reborn in another world that I call Arbor, and that's where I live with her. And mm-hmm. I'm wanting her to marry me on my planet, but there's something wrong. She hasn't been released by her former husband back here on Earth. So she wants to come back to Earth and release him by letting him know that she's okay. But she's afraid that if she does that, that he will be more haunted by her journey than healed. So I decide that I'm going to go back. So the movie starts when I arrive on his farm. And the journey of the film is me becoming his friend. And, you know, he's basically in his world pushed everybody out, which works for him. But I'm this person mm-hmm. from another world that all of his tactics don't work on me. Interestingly enough, when I arrive on Earth, I forget why I have like this amnesia. I can't remember why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
As the movie goes along, I start to have flashbacks of Arbor, and I start to realize why I'm there is because of Willie, the farmer. And as I'm having those revelations, he's having his own revelations that he's been missing out on his life. So I kind of play a Forrest Gump type character in my portrayal of Neela. That's my character's name, which oddly enough is the word alien spelled backwards. So it's really a friendship movie. It's two men. Two straight men in this film exploring friendship and what it means to each one of them. And I wanted to do this movie because I wanted to address mental illness. So where Hidden Hills talked more about prejudice and gay marriage, I think I have a lot of people in my life that struggle with mental illness, and I personally think it has a lot to do with people holding on to their past and struggling with things that maybe they thought they could change or do differently. And I believe that when they don't let go of those things, they kind of turn into a poison, and they start poisoning other parts of their life, and they may not be aware of it. So So that's kind of, you know, earlier I said we did the second film because I wanted to do another socially conscious film. So in the movie we talk about prescription drugs and Prozac and what Ritalin and, you know, what people are doing to try to deal with potential mental illness and actual mental illness and how Willie deals with that and how Arlene, his neighbor lady who is also on pills, deals with that, and how they each, Arlene and Willie, make different choices on their journey to heal themselves. And then, I don't want to ruin the ending.
Yeah.
But it
has.
What was that?
Don't tell us the ending.
Right, right. But it's a feel good movie. In the end, it's a drama, lighthearted, you know, drama. But but it should make people really happy and proud. And so when I was filming that movie, it was a night and day difference. The city of Belleville got behind it. They lent us the services of their Department of Tourism director, and she basically shut down the town whenever we needed her to and made available so many different things. Basically because we are highlighting their town, and the movie's called Belleville, which is the name of the town in the film, too. So a great experience. And afterwards, as compared to my experience here in L.A., which I called our local newspaper and wanted them to do a story, and they're like, we don't do stories about movies. We're in L.A. I'm like, okay. It was the downtown paper. And then our Belleville News Democrat, where I'm from, did 4 stories on it. And everybody in our town of 80,000, everyone we ran into had heard about the film. And they're all excited about when we return and we're going to do a big red carpet and we're going to have searchlights and everything, which when
we had
the premiere here, it was a complete opposite, opposite experience. But so much so, Rachel, that we're planning another project right now to film back in our hometown. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. We're really excited about that.
So is it in post right now? When is it coming?
Yeah, Dan's editing the film. He's a writer, director, editor, because it is an indie film. So he does it all. I kind of did something different with Dan. I'm paying him on a retainer, so I pay him X amount every month and his expenses. And with the commission of, I want you to save me money. So if I see that he's saving me money, I give him bonuses. You know, because a lot of people wonder how you finance a film like this.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is we set a budget, and I said, basically, if you hit the budget, you know, I'm going to give you bonuses. If you don't, then that money that I would be giving you is going to go towards the film, which is still, like, a good thing because it's his film, too.
Right.
But so he really nickeled and dimed everything, which was great. And, you know, we have a far better project, I think, because of that than, you know, having overpaid for a lot of things and me sitting here being depressed.
So any idea when it will be released? Do they have a timeline?
Well, what we're doing is we're doing something different with Belleville. We're going to do the traditional film festival thing with Hidden Hills. We released it online and let people see it because of the whole marketing aspect of our real estate business. But we're going to hopefully be premiering Belleville in March of 2014. At a big bicentennial event in the city of Belleville.
Great.
And we're working with them, and it's going to be really exciting. So we plan to go back to Belleville for the premiere.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then you're going to work on another film there as well, you said.
Well, what we're doing, I was on our high school speech team, and we have a movie called Speech. And we're either going to do an internet series or another film. We're not certain yet. But one of the things we're going to do when we go back to Belleville is we're going back with a marketing package, and we're going to try to get it financed because we really think that the community is going to love Belleville. And we're going to give the opportunity to the city of Belleville and its different business owners and individuals there an opportunity to invest in a film. So I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm trying to be inventive as a filmmaker. And I just think that now that we can make films because the cost of them is so, I think, reasonable, we're looking at films out of pocket that are actually costing about $30,000. you know, the favors that we were given on the film Belleville probably would have made the project cost about $150,000. I mean, they shut down the entire town square for an hour for one scene of the movie. I mean, if had we had to hire police and, you know, all permitting and all that kind of stuff, it would have cost so much more money. But that said, I don't, you know, what I love about Dan and I is we don't want to be stopped. So we're not looking at things that stop us. We're looking at things that green light projects. So we're going to go back there and try to see if we can get the town to finance this third project and go back to a place that is excited to have us there and wants us to tell their stories. So I wish I could do it in L.A., but I just think that – well, I actually had that – I had a budget of a person who does budgets, budget out speech, the movie. It was going to cost me $80,000. And I'm like, I'm not doing an $80,000 movie. You know, I don't have that kind of money. So we think we can do it for about the same cost as Belleville, in Belleville. And we're going to see if we can get some of the financing done by the local community and give them a chance to be a part of it in different ways.
Great idea. Great.
We'll see. We'll see.
Now, are you going to have a separate website for Belleville? Is that underway?
Yeah, it's bellevillethemovie.com. So it's already up. We had a whole bunch of stuff on there, but we've taken most of it down, and we're redesigning it for the premiere.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can join our mailing lists. Each website has its own audience list, is what I call it, if people want to go and join them.
Okay, and before we run out of time, is there anything else that you've got coming up that you want to talk about real quick, or a way that people can reach you if they want to get in contact with you directly?
I basically run both of those websites, so it's HiddenHillsTheMovie.com. What we're asking everybody to do right now with Hidden Hills up until January 1st, 2014, is to watch the film. It's free online until that time. And we're asking people to post it on their Facebook walls or tweet about it. So it's kind of like we're giving it away to get some PR going for now, kind of like you, right?
Yeah.
So,
go
ahead.
Like me, yes.
Yeah. So we want people to share the story and get the word out about it. And then I'm going to have DVDs available for purchase in December, around December 10th, I think I'll actually have the DVDs back from the duplication place. But and that's what I want people. That's how they can contact me, is through the websites and bellevillethemovie.com. And
You've done a ton of stuff. You've been on reality shows. You've had your own little projects where you've gone out in the streets and interviewed people, and you've been very busy. So people can find stuff that you've done on YouTube. I think your comedy act is up there, isn't it?
Yeah, you can go to gaycomedyduo.com and see my real-life partner, Drew, performing stand-up comedy. We were on several reality shows. One was called The Great American Christmas with Howie Mandel, where we went back to my hometown, and it was the year that I met my life partner, and we you got to watch us go through all of that, and that was on the USA Network, and back in the 90s, I was on a show called Dance Line where I taught people how to country western dance. But, yeah, it's been a fun journey, that's for sure.
And you worked with me at the Universal Studios.
At Universal
doing
Studios.
Tram tours.
Yes. Yes. Thank you,
don't
Universal
you find
Studios.
That, now, don't you find that doing the tram tour helps with acting so much because you can improv at any point and segue really easily into things?
I love doing the tram tour at Universal Studios, and you're right.
Yeah.
What I found, what the gift they gave me was that I have never been, ever since that job, afraid of getting in front of a group of people, ever.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
It helped with this show.
I never meet a stranger. You know, we got to talk to people from all over the world at that job. And, you know, I remember doing the tour with a whole tram full of people from Japan, and nobody spoke English. And I'm like, nobody's understanding me right now, but it's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, Ted. Well, we're running out of time.
Well, thank you for telling
me
stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I hope I can come back
when
Belleville premieres.
Yes, and I hope I can. I will be talking to you soon, but hopefully I can see you soon, too, if I ever get out to L.A.
I'm
okay.
We're right across the street from the Staples Center, so if you're ever in L.A.
Well, and I might be. I may be going out there soon, so I'll let you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Ted.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was a fun conversation with Ted Trent. Obviously, we know each other, and I've known Ted forever. And Hidden Hills is a really fun film. Like I said, it's campy. It's got that 1950s whitewash vibe to it, but it's turned upside down, and it's a fun film. Nothing to take too seriously. It's just it's very fun. And Belleville I haven't seen yet because, of course, it hasn't been released yet. But I look forward to seeing that one as well. It sounds really unique also. Okay, guys, well, that's it for today. I am going to the Fliff Wrap Party, the film festival wrap party tonight after watching Walking with the Enemy at 5 o'clock. So if you're listening to this live, you can head over to the Cinema Paradiso, and there's a lot going on tonight. The wrap party's at 7 o'clock. The film festival is finally ending. It's a two-week fest. I think it's the longest festival around. It's been a lot of fun this year, really fun. There's been a lot of different activities and events and films, and like I've said on the show, I met Leah Thompson, I met Stephen Moyer, I met Ed Asner, I met some great filmmakers, and one event I didn't get to go to was with Anne Margaret. She was here and was also given a Lifetime Achievement Award with Michael Bolton performing, and actors Hannah Toynton and Jonas Armstrong were the stars on the horizon. That was at the Westin Diplomat on Saturday night, last night. Wasn't able to go to that, but I'm sure it was fabulous as well. And you can find out all about some of the recap of some of the events I did go to, some of the interviews I did, reviews, etc., on my website, which is www.independentstreak.ning, N-I-N-G.com. That website has been chock full of information lately from the film festival. Also, you can go on to my Facebook site, which is www.facebook.com/indiestreak, just like this show. And please like that page. I would really appreciate it if you like it and follow it, because I have a ton of information about the film industry on there. A lot of it is geared toward Florida, but I do have stuff from all over. And I do tease things that I have on my regular Independent Streak site as well. So if you don't remember that Ning site, you can go onto the Facebook site, and that will tease you into it. Also, if you're a filmmaker out there and you'd like to come on the show, please feel free to email me. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods @yahoo.com, just like Raven Productions. Also, I saw a great film called Chrissy Belle. I wanted to give a shout-out to Alan Darnay and Carol Wood and the whole cast and crew of that film. That was actually intended to be a TV pilot at first, but they made it into a film for now. I think it will make its way into some sort of web series or TV series soon, because a lot of people wanted to see more of Chrissy Belle. It's kind of a fish-out-of-water story about a Southern belle that comes into the Miami area and has to deal with the culture shock, and it's a really funny movie. I laughed quite a lot, especially at the Spanish lines, because there's no subtitles, but I knew the Spanish, and it was really funny. And, of course, Carol is a great actress, and she always does a great job. She had an impeccable accent throughout. She was consistent throughout. Alan Darnay, the director, did a great job directing, and all of the ensemble cast was a lot of fun to watch, and I knew a lot of them, so that was fun. Okay, guys, well, I'm running out of time, so I can't talk about any other films, but go back. If you missed any of the information in this particular show, you can go back and listen to it again. And please listen to all of the archives. I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary soon in January. I'm going into my second year for this show in January. It started January 2012. So I have, over 80 interviews I've done. So you can go back and listen to all of those. All right, guys, I'll be back next Sunday and have a brand new person to interview. So please stay tuned, same time, same bat channel, and I will talk to you then. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.